He is Doug LaMaurice of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. He is, I think, still in Chicago. Doug, are you still in Chicago, or have you found your way back home?
I got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning last night.
Oh, my God. And you woke up to talk to me?
Yeah, well, it's because you just said I'm your best friend.
Well, that's true. You are the best friend of the program. So there's no denying that fact. Well, I appreciate you getting up for us, man. I feel bad that I made you wake up.
I'm not really up. I'm lying in my bed, so I'm going to be back asleep 5 seconds after I hang up. That's okay.
All right, perfect. All right, then I won't make you think too hard then. All right, we'll start with the Indians, and then I'll pick your brain about Big Ten Media Day. If you are the Cleveland Indians, you are 3 games out of the Central. You have woke up. You look better. You are playing better. You're actually watchable. Are you trading Trevor Bauer? Doug LaMaurice, go.
Yes, for the right deal. I don't feel I have to trade him. I'm happy to keep him if the right deal is not coming along. But if there is a trade that gets you a major league bat that goes right into the lineup on basically an everyday basis, I certainly would strongly consider that. You know, they know the timetables of Kluber, especially, I guess, better than we do. So, you know, if you feel like if you trade Bauer, you would be able to have Kluber back fairly soon after that to sort of slide him right back into the rotation. I wrote it last week. They got to try to thread the needle on it. I certainly think it's a reasonable thing to do, but it would only be because you think trading Trevor Bauer will help you win more right now. And then probably there's some benefit for the future because you're getting players who are under control longer than Bauer is going to be. But I would not feel like I had to do it. So I think they're in a win-win situation because he'd be a good guy to keep. But the right deal, I think, also certainly could be out there.
I think that's how they're looking at it, is they go, we have another year of club control. We will probably have to play the arbitration game once again with him, or maybe not, since he was, you know, maybe slighted a little bit because of the last round. But I think you're right. If the right deal comes, if the Padres come and go, all right, let's pay $1.50 on the dollar, I think they'll pull the trigger. But I don't think they have to. And I think Brad Hand falls into that same kind of philosophy where it's like, if somebody's going to pay us $1.50 on the dollar, I'm making the move. But I'm not doing it because I think I have to. Doug, would you trade Brad Hand?
Same kind of thing, I think. The thing there is they just have so many arms, right, that you feel like, and there's been so much with the injuries, you feel like one way or another they would be okay in the rotation. As long as they have a plan for how they're going to close games without Brad Hand, and I don't know what that is. Does Danny Salazar somehow factor in? Do you feel like you could just sort of piece it together like the Twins have done with 3 or 4 really good people on the back end? Your bullpen's pitched well for the most part. So maybe you absolutely could do that pretty smoothly. So the Bauer thing, I feel like you would have a solution in the rotation. The back end, if you're not going to Brad Hand, you just have to know, well, this is exactly what we're going to do, and we're still going to be able to close out games. But I would consider it the same way. The right deal that helps you now, go ahead.
I'm with you. We're in lockstep. That's the same way I'd handle it, is if somebody wants to show up and they want to pay me, then let's do it. If I'm doing it straight up, if I'm doing 4 quarters for a dollar, I'm good. I'm staying away. I'd rather keep the assets. I'd keep the flow inside of that clubhouse. Will they be able, are they going to buy at the deadline along with possibly trying to sell, Doug?
You know, I think they could buy the same way maybe they've bought at times. I wouldn't trade any real great prospect for something right now because what are they? They have like maybe the 6th or 7th best record in baseball, right? Like they're there, they're right there. But they also certainly could be a team that is one and done in the playoffs, like they were a year ago. So I would not, as much as you want to capitalize on this, and you should, and they're playing so well right now. I also would not be in the mode of making an Andrew Miller type trade. It certainly seems like the Brad Hand trade worked out great because what you gave up in Francisco Mejia, he's not doing that much. So I think standing pat is okay. And this was part of what I thought would happen is they've already changed so much that, you know, Oscar Mercado has helped change you. And if Jose Ramirez is back, I mean, that's like trading for an all-star level bat because he did nothing for the first half of the year when you were struggling. So I don't think I'd be a buyer because buyer to me implies that you're willing to, you know, deal a lot of important farm system pieces, and I wouldn't do that either. It's what I wrote again about a week or a week and a half ago. I'd be an adjuster or a tweaker. I'd be an adjuster. I do what helps me right now, but without mortgaging the future, because you can win. But I don't also think it's not like an all in thing where you're not thinking about the future at all.
He is Doug Lamarus of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. He was live at Big Ten Media Day. All right, so let's switch over to that where you drove in at 3 o'clock in the morning and then are stuck talking to me. What did Ryan Day do anything to instill confidence of a guy who can win a Big Ten title when you saw him at Big Ten Media Day?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't, you know, it's not really about, hey, he was pretty good during the hour-long interview session, so that means they're going to win. But, I mean, he knows what he wants to do, right? And so I think I wrote a thing that actually, like, the computer didn't save it. It was supposed to go up this morning, but it got erased. But I'm going to finish it anyway. And the point is, like, the way he talks about things, when he explains things, you can tell he has a plan. And so we've asked a million questions about how are you different than Urban Meyer, all this kind of stuff. And he doesn't have great answers to that because in a lot of the ways he is similar. But he was talking, for instance, about his recruiting plan, and they've recruited really well. But beyond doing it well, it's very clear that he has a plan that they are executing. And so it makes you think, man, this guy's never done this before, but he had a strategy for this, and it seems to be working. So if he did it in recruiting, I guess he'll have a strategy for game day, and he'll have a strategy for practice during the week, and that this guy does seem to maybe be ready for this, even though he's never really done it before. So I think he does instill confidence in the idea of this guy feels like he knows what he wants to do. I think there'll be bumps in executing it, but he doesn't sound like a guy who's a first-year coach.
That test period that he had when Herb was out, I think is going to do wonders. What do you think did that play into anything that went in your great piece that you wrote about the ratings when you pulled everybody around saying that Michigan was going to win the title? Did anybody feel any sort of confidence because Ryan Day had that test period, or is that just, you know, Herb was coaching anyway from behind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it factors in a little bit because, again, he's not completely new. Actually, I think the most important part of that, which I think people forget sometimes, is that he led them in August practice, that while they were investigating Urban Meyer, Ryan Day was the guy who led them through preseason preparation. So that's a lot more even hands-on coaching and leadership than what you're doing in game week because, you know, there was that stretch there where for part of it, you know, Urban was back during the week and Ryan Day just coached on Saturday. So he did have to get up in front of this team and, like, prepare this team for a season. And that's, like, a real thing. So camp can be hard. You know, Freddie Kitchens is about to lead the Browns through a preseason camp and build a roster and build camaraderie and do everything you need to do and do it for the first time. Ryan Day has done that. So, yes, it helps, but also it's still sort of the thing of being a substitute teacher. If you've never been in a classroom, that's hard. If you've been a substitute teacher and you've been around the kids and executed lesson plans, that's certainly better, but it's still not the same as having your own classroom and getting to do from day one to the end of the year exactly what you want to do. So yes, it helps, but it still isn't going to be what he is being and doing now.
There's a difference in playing play on the VHS player for the Schoolhouse Rock videos and picking the Schoolhouse Rock videos yourself. That's what it boils down to, Doug.
And there really is. And, you know, beyond that, and that's a great analogy, the idea is you always know the real teacher's coming back, you know? So, like, you knew Urban was coming back. So whatever happened with Ryan Day, well, when Urban gets back, then maybe we'll see the real Ohio State, right? So now this is the real Ohio State. Ryan Day is the real Ohio State. And they sure did look good on the field for the three games when he was the coach. So I think it helps, but it still doesn't tell you the whole thing.
All right, I have to ask you this or else I'd flunk every journalism class on the face of the earth for not asking the obvious question. Doug, what did you think of John Harbaugh's comments on Tim Kawakami's podcast about Ohio State and Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I got it kind of like in a fight with Jim Harbaugh again for like the second time in 4 years, I guess, about this stuff that I'm the one who, when we got to like the hour-long side thing, sort of pressed him on this, and it's fine to say it, and that's what I wrote yesterday. That, I mean, yes, of course there's truth to it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Urban Meyer has that controversy. But as I said to Jim Harbaugh, it's different for the Michigan coach to say that. Sports writers write it. Fans think it. Yes, it's true. But you're the Michigan coach, and this is the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. So my question was, like, why did you say it? It's not disputing whether it's true or not. To me, it's the idea of, like, why would you go down that road? Do you believe that sort of helps Michigan win? Is that good for Michigan for you to say that? Because that's all he should be thinking about. All he should be thinking about is whatever I'm doing, from when I wake up to when I go to sleep, is it helping me beat Ohio State? Because if they don't beat Ohio State, they can't do anything else they want to do. So, like, did he have some strategic plan where I'm going to, like, go after Urban Meyer and it's going to do this? And I it didn't seem like it. He was kind of just saying, I said, why did you say it? He said, because it's what I think. And that's great. But did it help you win? Because that's what you should be worried about. So, like, it's fine, I guess. But if I was a Michigan fan, I would be wondering, here we are again talking about something Jim Harbaugh said, rather than talking about a big game that Jim Harbaugh won. And so if this is some little motivation in November and Ohio State will grab onto it and it somehow gives Ohio State a little edge for that game, then to me that means Jim Harbaugh should not have said it, whether it's true or not or whether he thinks it or not. That's not the question. The question is, how does it help your team that you said it?
It's a good point. Did you hit Garrett's popcorn while you were in Chicago?
They gave us a free bag of something, I think, is like a little, I don't know if it was supposed to be a souvenir, and I ate it in like 8 minutes. So I think it was that popcorn.
Oh, it's so good.
It was my lunch the one day. It's like I looked down and it was gone, and I thought, like, did I spill this? And I was like, no, you ate it, you glutton. So, yeah, it was good, I guess.
I understand. That joint, I don't know if you've heard of it, but like there's lines like across the block for people going to get popcorn from Garrett's in that area. Like, I guess it's like must stop. Yeah. They ended up putting a joint in the, I think, at the airport as well. So did you at least get deep dish while you were there, or were you just working the whole time?
No, I got it twice.
Good
so,
man.
Yeah.
Good man.
I'm driving up in
2 weeks to go to Wisconsin. I'm stopping in Chicago to make sure I get deep dish.
Nice.
Yeah, you have to. All right, buddy, go to bed. I apologize for making you wake up.
Talk to you later, man.
We'll talk. Take care of yourself. He is Doug Laborese of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. He is the best friend of the program, and we appreciate his time. Thanks, Doug.